After 25 years in the show business limelight, Bobby Vinton has emerged a survivor. The teenage singing idol of the 60s is considered the all-time most successful love singer of the rock era, and currently he's appearing at Harrah's Hotel in Atlantic City, and it's nice for you to stop
by. Thank you, Mark. That was a nice introduction. Thank you.
You are a survivor. In a day when so many styles of music change, to what do you attribute your long-lasting success?
Because I feel I'm an entertainer, and I'm versatile. I do a little bit of everything. I've been out now on tour for 4 weeks. I started at a fair in Wisconsin, and they wanted country and western music because, state fairs, country and western music is big. And then from there, I went to Milwaukee. I performed with the Milwaukee Symphony. And I'm a doctor of music from Duquesne University, honorary doctor, so I had a chance to perform with the symphony. And this weekend, I just came from a Polish festival in Hunter Mountain, which was unbelievable. It rained, and we still had 50,000 people. So I do a little bit of everything. And then
lots
tomorrow.
Of diversification.
Yes, if you do a little bit of everything, there's always someplace for you to go.
A critic once said of you that you survived because you were a showman rather than someone who stands up on stage and simply sings your hit songs.
Well, in my show, I play all the instruments. I sing in different languages. Yo non posso crederti quando dici che mi lascerai. I figure I want Italians to come too, you know. But I sing in all languages and I do impressions. And it's just, I like to feel that I'm a total entertainer. It's almost like a dying breed. I performed somewhere in Wallingford, Connecticut last week, and after the show, they said, gee, you remind us of show business, because, you know, we don't see too many shows like what you do anymore. It's a dying breed.
But there's also a serious side to you. This Friday, you're going to be in another role at the White House.
Yeah, I'm invited to the White House because Friday is the 40th anniversary of the Polish uprising. And there's going to be a briefing there with all Polish delegates. And I'm going to have lunch with the president. And I sure hope he has kabasa, pierogi, and ogórki. I mean, with all those Polish people in the White House, because we can't eat that other soul food, man. We got to have our food. But we're going to be there. And, they have a lot of things in mind that they want to bring up to the president's, you know, like dropping all the sanctions in Poland, and so he'll probably be prepared for that. But I live in California, not too far from the president. We live on the same street, so he called me one time when he was governor. I was opening up in Las Vegas to congratulate me on a fine opening and all that, so he's a nice man, and I'm looking forward to seeing him again.
You have a house overlooking the ocean, and I understand there was a Cary Grant who wanted to buy it. Your wife, there was a rebellion.
No, Dustin Hoffman came to buy. It's a great house. It's over the Pacific Ocean, and it's a very unique secret passages. When Cary Grant lived there, he put secret passages that open up, a bookcase opens up to the master bedroom, just in case you have a guest and the party's going on and you want to visit the bedroom. I can't use it because my wife knows about it, so I talk about it on television. It's there. If I can't enjoy it, why should anybody enjoy it?
You have been idolized by so many women, and you have a special place in the hearts of so many middle-aged women today, and you're on the road all the time. Yet, you have a very successful marriage. You and Dolly have been married 19 years, 5 children.
Yes. I know. I get away with it. I don't know how. I got a hickey right here. I mean, at this Polish festival, it started over the weekend where I must have kissed, I don't know, a good many ladies in the audience, and they would come up, and, you know, they're all partying. And that's kind of what my show is today. It's fun, and people get involved, and it's just, I don't stand up there and sing 10 songs. That would be boring. I'd be bored. The audience would be bored, and I'd be planting tomatoes by now at home. But it's kind of a fun type of show, and I look forward to it.
Would you share with us, you have the title that has really stuck over the years, The Polish Prince. Can you tell us how that happened?
Well, what happened was I was performing in Chicago. As you know, it was a big Polish community, and the king of Norway was in town to have dinner with the late Mayor Daley, and he didn't go to have dinner with him. It was really an insult, and the press and the media and everybody came out to see him the next day. They says, why weren't you with the king of Norway? He says, because I went to see the Polish prince instead. And they put that on the front page of the Chicago Tribune, and ever since then, I've been a Polish prince.
You were, in addition to your talent and your ability to survive, you're also quite innovative. Back in the 60s, you were trying to get some play on the air of Roses Are Red, and you pulled a ploy on the DJs in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, you see, I'm a promoter. Things just don't happen in life. You have to make them happen. And I'm always hustling. I wrote a book, by the way, called The Polish Prince, about all the tricks and trades I had to do to survive. But in reference to your question on Roses Are Red, nobody really wanted to play that record. It didn't come easy. Everybody figured, oh, Roses Are Red is easy. Nobody wanted to play the record. I bought 1,000 records. I went and I bought 1,000 records. So my record company called me up and says, hey, you have a hit. Do you know you sold 1,000 records in Pittsburgh today? And I said, oh, guys, thank you. That's awful nice of you for working so hard for me. Now I'm stuck with 1,000 records. I went and I put them in all the record stores. And I says, but how do I get a disc jockey to play Roses Are Red? I would send a dozen of Roses to every disc jockey in town with a Roses Are Red record inside the flyers. So I loaded up my car with all these Roses and I pull up to the first disc jockey and he's behind this big glass window hopping and bopping and all that, and I'm smiling with Roses for him. Uh-huh. And I said, uh-oh, something's wrong. I can't walk in with those Roses because he's looking at me like I'm strange. In the meantime, I see a good-looking girl walking by with nice legs. I says, could you do me a favor? I says, I don't think you'd have any trouble walking into that radio station with these flowers because you have beautiful legs. So she thought I was kind of nuts, and she was right.
She was the mystery lady.
And she went to every station with the records.
We don't know. We would like to think it's the talent that has sustained you over the years. 25 million records, about a dozen gold records.
And I'm still looking for the girl. I don't know what she looks like, but I remember her legs. So if you see me looking at your legs around here, I'm looking for that girl.
Let's go back to Donna.
That's Donna's legs.
Great. No, I don't. Disclaimer here.